a very, very important series. Of course, I think that about all of them. But we're going to study the next few weeks. We're going to study salvation. I heard a message that inspired this. I was listening to him, and he said about unpacking salvation. And when he did, I just got a mental image of a suitcase. And about opening that suitcase and finding out what's in it. I want to read a story. A Christian was talking to a soap manufacturer about his faith. "Don't think much of Christianity," he said. "It's been around all these years, and look at the mess the human race is in." At this point, they passed two or three children playing in the mud at the side of the road. "What about your soap?" replied the Christian. "It's been around longer than Christianity. And look at the mess those kids are in." "Ah," said the soap manufacturer, "my soap is only effective as and when applied." "That's exactly how it is with Christianity," said the Christian. And that's true. You ever heard somebody say, "I got my ticket punched, got my bags packed," and yet you look at their life and it's a mess? Maybe you said that. They're defeated. There's not much in their life that looks like Christ. Isn't that what we're called to be like, is Christ? This presents a problem. One of two or three things. Number one, they didn't really accept it. Maybe they were just looking for some fire insurance. You know, nobody wants to go to hell, do they? But we've learned that becoming a Christian is more than escaping hell. That's not what we're called to. We're not called just to escape hell. We're called to a higher calling than that. But there's some people who come and they pray and, you know, they want to receive Christ, and they receive Christ and they're baptized, and you never see them again. And they go away and they say, "Got my bags packed, I got my ticket punched," but nothing changes in their life. Now, I'm not judging them, I'm just wondering, did they really get what they were after? I don't know. And there are some Christians who are genuinely saved, but they're defeated because they never have unpacked their bag. They've got their bag. They carry their bag around. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I have salvation. And yet they're defeated. And the problem is that they've never taken time to see what's in their bag. So we've entitled this series, Baggage Check. Baggage check. We're going to take a look. We're going to discover what's inside the bag of salvation. We're going to unpack it a little bit. Now, let me say, this is not an exhaustive study. Salvation is something that you can study from now on and not learn everything that's in it. The Word of God is so big. The Word of God is so great. It talks about every need of man. And listen, we don't know it all. We've not discovered everything that's available for us and to us that's in Christ Jesus. That's one of the reasons that we have you reading your Bibles. How many of you still reading your Bibles? Let me see your hand. Awesome. Oh, good, good. You're on your Bible reading program. You need to be reading your Bible. For it's in the Scriptures that we find our hope of salvation. It's in Scripture that we find out who we are and what's available to us in Christ. But you know, I've been a Christian for 40-something years now. Long time. Long time. And I know that as a Christian, it's very easy to become complacent in your walk with God. It's very easy to take what you have for granted. And you kind of enter into a station in life where you're very comfortable with your spirituality. You're very comfortable where you are. in your walk with God, and you begin to neglect things. You begin to neglect because of your complacency. You know, things are going good for you. Things are going, you know, you're being blessed. And you just kind of take it for granted. And all along, you're carrying around this bag that's packed. And it's got all kinds of things in it that will be such a blessing in your life. If you only unpack your bag and do a baggage check and find out what's in it. I want to read some scripture. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. This is a great verse of scripture. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. How many of you know that Christian people ought to be joyful? Is that right? For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom checks himself with ornaments and decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. You know, I see Christians, people who claim salvation, but they have their old clothes on. And every time you see them, you see their old clothes, because they haven't unpacked the bag and they haven't put on the garments of salvation. See, the Bible tells us to put on Jesus Christ. Now, Psalms 132:16 says, I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Now, in the Old Testament, they had priests. And if you wanted to have contact with God, you went through the priest. Your offerings were brought to the priest. A sin offering, a fellowship offering, a praise offering, as a sacrifice. And that priest would sacrifice your offering for you before God. Under the New Testament, it's different. We don't really have to have a priest to go to God for us. Guess what? As believers, the Bible says that we are priests unto our God. Come on now, I'm preaching better than you're talking to me back today. What's up with that? How about that thing got slipped out from under me? You'd get a good laugh then, wouldn't you? No, we're priests in the New Testament. One of the things that we believe in the New Testament, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. Nobody has to make a sacrifice for me because Jesus is my high priest and he has made the ultimate sacrifice, and therefore I can come boldly to the throne of grace that I may obtain help and find mercy and grace in my time of need. That's what's been given us as New Testament believers. So when it says that in the Old Testament that he will clothe his priests with salvation, we can bring that forth into the New Testament and know that we can be clothed with salvation. Now, one more verse, and then we're going to unpack the bag a little bit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, the word salvation, many Christians have the idea that salvation is forgiveness of sin. Now, I admit that that is part of our salvation. But did you know, as an unbeliever will pray for forgiveness of sin, but that doesn't save him? Did you know that? It's futile for unbelievers to pray for forgiveness of sin, because their daily sins are not their problem. It's the depravity of their heart that's the problem. See, man became depraved, separated from God, and fell from God's grace in the Garden of Eden. His heart was changed. He was given a pure heart. He was given a perfect heart. But when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, his heart became depraved. Jeremiah says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. And who can know it? See, one thing that we do know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Again, it's talking about clothing. Now, the ideal in the filthy rags is the bloody, pussy rag that a leper would wear. That sounds gross, doesn't it, right before lunch? But think about that our righteousness, now, it's not our worst, it's our best. That our righteousness before God is a bloody, pussy rag. We can't do anything about that. The best that we can be before God is a mess. Our hearts are darkened and desperate. See, and an unbeliever can pray for forgiveness of sin, but it doesn't save him. That's not what saves us, is just the forgiveness of sin. The heart has to be changed. The heart has to be regenerated. And we're going to look at some words in a minute, and that's one of the words, regeneration. Now, as believers, when we sin, we go to God and we ask for forgiveness of our daily sins. And the Bible says that He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a believer scripture. That's not an unbeliever scripture. So, if they're only seeking forgiveness of sins, they'll still die and miss God. See, when people just think that salvation is forgiveness of sin, that falls way, way short of what's in your bag. There's a lot in your bag. In fact, the word salvation is a huge word. It's an all-inclusive word. In fact, there are a couple in the New Testament, but there's one in the Old Testament, Yasha, which means the same thing as the word for salvation in the New Testament. And then there's another derivative of that called Yeshua. Does anybody know what Yeshua means? That's Jesus' name in Hebrew, Yeshua. You know what that word means? It means Jehovah or Yahweh is salvation. See, our salvation is a person. Did you know that? Our salvation is a person. It's not just a thing, it's a person. Jesus is our salvation. You're not your salvation. In fact, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, there was nothing that he could do to restore himself. He could not repent. He could not have a change of mind. He could not have a change of heart. His heart became depraved and separated from God. He was hopelessly lost. There was absolutely zero that he could do to get back in right relationship with God. See, most of the world's religions today are based on a works righteousness mentality. In other words, I call it the teeter-totter doctrine. I made that up, okay? But it's kind of like this. That end of the days, here's a teeter-totter. And it's balanced like this. And God will put all of my good works on this side and all of my bad works on this side. And if this one is the heaviest one, then I'll go to heaven. If this is the heaviest one, I'll go to hell. You know, the Bible tells us that if we're going to live by the law, that we have to keep the law perfectly, that if we're guilty in one point of the law, we're guilty of the whole law. So let's say it like this. If the teeter-totter thing is right, and let's say that you live just almost a perfect life, and you do one thing wrong, it still goes the wrong way. See, there was nothing that man could do to restore his relationship with God. That's why in the Garden of Eden, one of the first things that God did was to take an animal. Now, we don't know what it is. It could have been a lamb. We don't know. I'm guessing that that's what it is, but that's an opinion. He took an animal, and that animal gave his life, and he covered them in animal skins. And he made a promise to Adam that someday there was coming a seed of the woman that was going to crush the head of the serpent, which is a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. God set up a system. He gave the law, which man could not keep, but he gave a provision in that law of the sacrificial system that man could bring a sacrifice that would temporarily give him access to God's blessing. But that's not the way that God intended it to be. See, we can do zero. Any effort on our part to reconcile with God falls short. You can't do it. Now you hear people say, well, I live by the Ten Commandments. Did you break one of them? Then you're guilty of all of them. Well, I try to live by the golden rule. Try. Do you always do it perfectly? No. Then you've fallen short. See, salvation is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. When we come together, you know what we celebrated this morning? We celebrated the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That which brought us our bag that's packed full of good stuff. Salvation. Yeshua. Jehovah, Yahweh, is salvation. In the New Testament, that word is either sozo or soteria. I think sozo is the root word, and soteria comes from that root word. And it has a whole lot of connotation with it. It is an all-inclusive word. It's all-encompassing. Whatever mankind might have need of, it's provided for in salvation. See, this guy that walks around saying, I got my bags packed. He's got his old clothes on. He's never unpacked the bag. He will never, ever, ever enjoy what's in that bag until he unpacks it. Begins to understand it, begins to apply it to his life. He takes off all those old clothes, and he puts on the clothes that are in the bag. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that a little bit. So I just wanted to introduce it to you today. I don't have time to get into all of it, but all my bags are packed. I got my ticket punched. But it's time for me to unpack my bag and discover what's inside this bag. Now, I'm not going to have time to teach on everything that's in this bag. But I want to give you some words. If you want to write them down, write them down. Study them out in your Bibles. You know, we are called to study the Bible. Okay? We can't do all the Bible study here at the church. Just, it's impossible. You need to be studying the Bible at home. We give you all kinds of resources to do that. Here's one word. Repentance. Repentance. What is repentance? It has to do with godly sorrow. It has to do with having a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of direction. From the heart. This is not something that really you do. It's just something that happens in your heart. Here's another word that's involved with your salvation. It's called faith. 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 Is faith involved in salvation? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. Here's another one. Substitution. Substitution. You deserve to die because of your sins. But there's one who came, who died in your place. He became your substitute. His name is Jesus. Here's a 50-cent word. You like big words? Here's a big one. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. We're going to talk about this one. We're going to unpack. So we're unpacking salvation, but some of these words, we're going to have to unpack them too to see what they're about. Reconciliation. Here's the $5 word here. Are you ready for this one? Propitiation. These words are in your Bible. Every one of these words are in your Bible. Propitiation. How many of you know what propitiation means? Well, only one in the first service did. Oh, there's one in the sound booth. So one in each service. We're going to look at that. Say what? Do I need to know that? Yep. You need to know that. It's in your Bible. You know why God put things in the Bible? So that you could discover them. So that you could find out what they mean. So that you can find out what they mean for your daily life. Christianity is a very practical experience. It's a very practical thing that we can learn. See, Christianity is not really a religion. We've made a religion out of it. Christianity really is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. Jesus, some of you are going to be shocked when I say this. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't Southern Baptist. He was a Jew. Okay? I get in trouble sometimes for saying stuff like that. It's all in fun. I love Baptists. You better, because most people are Baptist. I still got remission here. Oh, remission. That's the next one. Remission. Now, that's the one that a lot of people think that's all salvation is remission of sin. Here's another word. Regeneration. Regeneration. What does that mean? We'll find out. Here's another one. Redemption. That's a word we hear a lot about. Redemption. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Here's one. Imputation. I didn't say amputation. I said imputation. Imputed. Here's a big one. And I've got some news for you today in case you didn't know it. Adoption. Adoption. You're not naturally a son of God. You're not naturally a child of God. You're not born a son of God. Now, Adam and Eve were, well, they were naturally children of God. But guess what happened when he fell? All of his offspring have been estranged from God. So what do we have to become children of God? Adoption. We're not naturally children of God, even though we were made God. Our sin depraved our hearts and separated us from God. But God brings us into his grace. He brings us into his family. Not because you're an American, not because you was raised in the church, not because you was raised by a Christian mama or had a Christian grandma, It's through adoption. It's adoption. Ooh, that's some good stuff, preacher. I'll shout at myself if I need to, if you won't. Amen. Supplication. Supplication. That has to do with your salvation. That's in your bag. Here's a big word. We hear this word, but do you know what it means? Justification. Justification. Here's one that we've divorced from salvation, but if we understand it correctly, it fits right in. Sanctification. Sanctification. We sang about this one a while ago. Show me your glory. You know why Moses wanted to see the glory? Because he wanted to glorify God. Glorification. You know, God has a target for you to hit. And when you hit that target will bring you into God's glorification. Oh, here's an interesting word. We got one coming up here not long. Election. We're not talking about the primaries, okay? We're not talking about what's going to happen in November. This is not something that you can register for so that you can vote. Election has to do with what God did. Now, I know this is a very controversial word. Some people say, well, some are elected to go to heaven. Some are elected to go to hell. You heard some of that teaching? Okay. Maybe we'll talk about that. Got to keep coming back to hear it. Here's another one. Foreknowledge. Bible says that whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Foreknowledge. Here's another word that we don't really like because it's not been properly taught. Predestination. Again, some are predestined to be saved and some are predestined to be lost. So it has been taught. I don't think so. I'm just saying. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, just in case you don't know where I stand. Here's another one. Deliverance. Deliverance. This is not only deliverance from the depravity of sin. This has to do with people who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Does anybody qualify? All of us. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Deliverance. See, we said a while ago that the word salvation is an all-inclusive. Not only does it deal with the nature of sin, not only does it deal with our individual sins, but it also deals with the results that come to pass because of our sins. Can I just tell you something? You know why we're goofed up? Most of it's our own fault. We are our biggest problem in our life. And the things that the choices that we have made in life, no, I don't think anybody ever sets out to become an alcoholic or a drug addict or to commit adultery. But, you know, we're seeing that rampant throughout our society today. And a salvation that didn't provide for forgiveness and deliverance for that would come short of God's original intent. See, in the Garden of Eden, when God made man, he didn't make him to die. Did you know that? Man, God told him, he says, in the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree that I told you not to, you shall surely die. Well, guess what? If he didn't eat of the tree, what happened? He wouldn't die. There was no death. There was no disease. There was none of those kind of. There was no deformity. There was no calamity. There was no tragedy. Why? Because all of those things are a result of the fall of man. And we have perpetuated that in our lives through the dumb choices that we make. But thank God there's deliverance in Jesus Christ. Now, that's why, listen, that's why we tell you all the time. And we have to say this for new people because, I mean, we have people come to church high sometimes. That's okay. Now, I don't believe in taking drugs. But where does a drug addict need to be? It needs to be right here. Okay? What is the thing that will change a man's heart? It's the gospel of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Where is the... There's deliverance in no other name but the name of Jesus. There's hope for the addict. There's hope for the person who is caught up in any kind of sin. There is hope. There is deliverance through the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. It's in your bag. Unpack your bag. Get into the bag. I'm about to get excited. Not bad for an old Methodist boy, is it? Whoo, glory. Here's another one. Healing. Healing. Healing of the spirit. Healing of the soul. Does our God still heal bodies? I believe He does. How does He do that? Well, He does it divinely. He's given us doctors. He's given us medical science. All of those work together to bring about healing. God loves people. He provides healing. I love it when He does a miracle of healing. I love to see that. I've seen it. I've seen miracles of healing. And I believe that God's still in the healing business. Here's a big one. Peace. Peace. How valuable is peace? Pretty valuable. There's peace with God, and there's the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, there's times in your life as a believer that you should have no peace. And in that moment, you can have peace that passes understanding. Some of you, I've lost a loved one this last year. Lost my dad this last year. Had wonderful peace during that whole time. God's peace sustained my life and my heart during that time. Peace. What is that? That's one of the fruits of my salvation. I can have peace. I love this one. I think this is the last one. Be made whole. Salvation is for the whole man, not for just part of you. Now, I want to close by saying this. We're going to stick this back in the bag. Next week, we're going to unpack the bag some more. We're going to get into the bag and talk about some of those words, those big words in there. But let me say this about your salvation. It deals with your past. Aren't you glad? You couldn't deal with your past. In fact, once you do something, you have no power over it. You can't change what's happened in the past. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody. You have no power over your past. That's why He took care of it on the cross. Your present. There is provision for your present. There's your future. See, salvation is all inclusive. It takes care of your past, your present, and your future. Now, we still have to appropriate some of it. But your past, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your past is done. It's dealt with, done. It's in the past. Just don't let your past prophesy your present and your future. Okay? We have been saved. Now, this is going to sound like heresy, but it's not. When you understand that salvation is in, it's a big term. It's not just the forgiveness of sin. It's not just going to heaven when you die. It's to meet the need of all of our man in all of the realms that we've lived in, our past, present, and future. You have been saved. You are being saved. You shall be saved. He's provided for all of it. He's provided for your past. He paid for your present. He is changing you. If you're getting into your bag, He's changing you from the inside out in your present. That's part of your salvation that we call sanctification. And then one of these days, guess what? We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a new life. We're going to have a new place to live. You know what? And the neat thing about it is, there'll be no more death there. No more dying. No more cancer. No disease. No hate. No prejudice. No Republicans and Democrats. Praise God. We're going to be one. Not going to be any Baptists. He said, Baptists are not going. No, that's not what I said. John Osteen said something one time. This is Joel's daddy. He said, titles are good for one thing. If you go down, they burn off. If you go up, they blow off. The body of Christ will not be divided in heaven. We will be one. We won't be called by our names on earth. We'll be called by our new names in heaven. Glory to God. And we're going to be surprised at some folks that are there. We may be surprised at some folks that are not there. But listen, all of the hate, everything in our past, everything that we see now that is so vexing to our souls will not be there. That's part of what Jesus secured in our salvation. It's big. It's bigger than you know. It's bigger than I know. So I want to encourage you to be here for the next few weeks as we unpack our salvation, as we do our baggage check and discover what's inside. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for your word. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, open our hearts. Open our eyes that we can see everything that is so available to us through a relationship with you. Thank you today, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. May we embrace it and may we love it. Bless your people today and bless them as they go from this place today. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.